everyone. You're listening to Operation Dichotomy. I'm Paul. I'm your host, and we are the bridge between perception and reality. Our goal here is pretty simple. We just want people to be able to listen and to understand each other, especially when it's hard to hear and maybe when there's a little bit of disagreement. When it's not easy and when it's not comfortable, if we're able to listen and understand each other, that's when we're going to heal so much of the divide that we see in the country. And so hopefully we can inspire you to become that person today. If that sounds like something that you can get behind and agree with, be sure to connect with us at Operation Dichotomy on Instagram and on Facebook. Or you can find us online at operationdichotomy.com. And last but not least, as usual, if you find the content that we provide to be valuable, please go ahead and leave us a review and share. For today's episode, I want to share a video that we made a little while ago, but basically it's talking about some of the critical things that we need to know in order to get people to listen to us. And the reason why we made that video is because I believe a lot of the people listening to this podcast and a lot of the people who like our content and connect with the things that we do, we want to make a positive impact in our communities and in our world. The problem is if we can't get people to listen to us, and it might be them, it might be you, it might be me. We don't know what the problem is yet without analyzing what's actually going on. How can we make change? How can we realistically make change if people don't listen to what you have to say, if they don't value your perspective, and if they don't value you as a human? So the reason why we made that video is because it talks about some of those things. It's called Four Critical Things That We Need to Know for Us to Get People to Listen to Us. Not in a prideful, hey, I'm right, you're wrong kind of way, but just for us to be heard, to have people that are closed off to different perspectives to hear our perspective and maybe it'll open their mind a little bit. Originally, it was for a few of our newsletter, VIP subscribers. But for those of you who are listening to the podcast, you're kind of like our VIP people anyways. So I'm sharing this with you guys here. I hope that there's some useful content here for you so that you can apply it and you'll be able to see the changes happen around you. Thanks, guys. I think the reason why most of you are here watching this video is because you definitely want to make a positive impact in your community. Whether that community is your family, whether it's a church group or religious group, whether it's your workplace, whether it's another community that you have, you want to make a positive impact in that place. But the reality is we can't make that positive impact if people aren't willing to listen to you or take you seriously for your perspectives and your opinions. Now, I think the question is, well, why do these people not want to hear you? Why do they not want to hear me? Why do they not want to hear us? Is it something that I'm doing? Is it something that they're doing? Is it their characteristics? Is it my characteristics? The list really could go on and on and on and on. But for today's purposes, we just want to cover four fairly simple reasons why people don't listen to us, and maybe some of the things that we can do in light of that to help them listen to us better. So here we go. Four critical reasons and four critical ways for us to help get other people to listen to what we have to say and what you have to say. Here we go. So reason number one, this is kind of a simple one and it should kind of go without saying, but just in case it isn't, we're going to put it out here anyways. You need to be the one to listen to the other person first. Why do people not want to hear you? Because you don't want to hear them. Or you pretend you want to hear them, but you don't actually want to listen to them. I mean, the reality is, a lot of the people that we talk to and a lot of the people that generally have closed ears, it's because they have strong opinions about whatever they're thinking. If you think about something like religion or politics, those are the two big ones, right? If you come across someone who is closed off to another perspective, and if you start to listen to what they actually have to say, their opinions generally are pretty strong ones. Now, if they have strong opinions, why would they want to hear yours? I think their perspective is that there's not a lot you can say that's going to convince them of their perspective, so they just say, forget it. In that scenario, what do? Just listen to them. Listen to what they have to say, listen to their opinion. Number one, maybe there's actually some merit to their strong opinion, and you could probably go into it assuming that there is. Let's learn to expect the best in people. People with strong opinions that are different from yours, don't automatically think that they're crazy or they're wrong. Learn to assume that, hey, maybe they've actually thought through their perspective, and maybe there's something that I didn't understand, so let me listen to their perspective. And I guarantee if you listen to their perspective actively in a way that you're trying to understand, they're probably going to be more open to what you have to say as well.
Why? Because they've been heard. Have you ever gotten into a fight or an argument with your significant other? Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. How often in the middle of that fight, when you share your perspective, do they want to hear it? For me, never. Not until I've understood my wife's perspective, my opinion doesn't matter. Honestly, I'm not sure my opinion matters anyways, even after that, but that's besides the point. The point is, whether you're arguing with your significant other, whether you're talking to somebody in your family or your friends about religion or politics or anybody else for that matter who has a different perspective than yours, if you don't listen to them, they're not going to listen to you. Step number one, listen to the other perspective. Unless you put in the time to really listen to what they have to say, there's no chance that they're going to listen to you. Step number two, you got to understand this concept called the elephant and the rider. Now, basically what this concept is talking about emotion and reason. Imagine a rider, a human being, riding this big old elephant. The elephant is our emotions, and the rider is our rationale and our reason and our logical thinking. Now, I think a lot of times when people think about how others respond and how they create opinions, we sometimes categorize them, right? On one perspective, there's the people that are strictly emotion-based. They're the ones that respond to everything immediately, and the way they feel is what they think about whatever just happened. On the other hand, there's the people that are devoid of emotion. They just think. They're super rational, super logical. If it doesn't make sense, then forget it. My opinion is based on logic and reasoning. But the reality is, everyone has both, which is why it's called the elephant and the rider. We have both. Now, here's the thing. When the rider and the elephant are trying to get an opinion about a matter, they have to go the same direction. The rider is not going to jump off the elephant and go one way while the elephant goes the other direction. Our human psyche is built in a way where our emotions and our rationale, they have to go in the same direction. So the question is, if our thinking, our logical thinking of the facts and our emotion about how we feel on a situation, if they don't overlap and if they don't coincide, guess which way the elephant and the rider are going to go? It's actually going to go where the elephant goes. And the illustration kind of makes sense because elephant is huge. The elephant goes, the rider goes along with it. Now here's the thing. When your elephant and your emotions, they basically create an opinion in the way you, they create an opinion about what's in front of you based on how you feel, your rider is not going to be like, hey, you know what? I know you feel this way and I think differently because of the facts, but I'll just go along with you reluctantly because I'm stuck to you. Instead, what happens is the rider is actually going to almost change the facts and see selectively what it wants to see in order to justify why you feel that way. And now as you listen to this, maybe it makes more sense, right? This is why people are so emotion driven. At the same time, they're able to justify these emotions with the way that they think. All right, just a couple of examples. Have you ever met someone who's been in a toxic or an abusive relationship? Usually that toxic or abusive relationship is not a one-time thing. It happens over and over and over and over again. Now, logically, does that make sense? No. If I'm in an abusive relationship and someone constantly abuses me, if I take a step back and think, man, why am I here in the first place? There's no reason, right? It doesn't make any sense. They hate on me. They call me names. They may be physically abusive. I don't want to be here. I'm out. Logically, I'd be gone. Why is it then that most of the time people who are in abusive relationships go back into it? It's because they feel positively about that person and they feel like in almost a twisted way, they're getting what they want and desire. So emotionally, they're drawn to that relationship. And then what happens after that? They begin to justify their decision. Oh, he's just doing this out of love for me, right? He's telling me these things verbally, borderline verbally, abusively, because he cares about the way that I look. He calls me fat because he wants me to be healthy. It's just justifying these things based on how they feel. If you know people who struggle with dieting, it's kind of the same thing sometimes. Okay? Logically, we know that that cookie is 8,000 calories and I shouldn't eat that based on my goals. But emotionally, that cookie makes me so happy. I love the way it tastes in my mouth. I eat it, and then you justify it rationally. Oh, it's just one cookie. I've done this before. I can run tomorrow. I can run an extra mile in the morning. Whatever, right? You justify the decisions that you made emotionally with your rationale, and that's how it goes together. One last example. This happens a lot with people. Right? You have a characteristic list of the people that you want to support and the people that you like. Let's go back to politics for a second. Think about the potential list of characteristics that you've had for the political candidate that you want to support. A, B, C, D, E. Good character, integrity, looks like this, this age, this religion, this background, this stance on whatever. But you make that exception for this one person who doesn't fit that because you feel good about them. You have a positive opinion about them. They're the exception because I like them. Forget about the rational list. My emotions are creating this picture of someone that I admire and I adore. So the rationale, instead of pulling me away from my bad choice, it justifies me acting against everything that I thought about before. Emotions go first, rationale goes second. You have to understand that. People make decisions with emotion first, then reason. If you don't understand this about people, you're not going to be able to communicate with them effectively, which we're going to talk about in just a second. And if you can't do that, there's no way they're going to listen to you. For those of you who like food or who don't like food, think about the taste buds that we have in our mouths. It's not just sweetness. It's not just bitterness. It's not just salty. It's not just spice. It's a combination of all these taste buds in our mouths that determine whether or not we like a particular food or we hate it. Now, when it comes to morality and ethics, and the reason why that's important is because a lot of times that's how instinctually we judge whether or not we like something or not. It's the same thing. It's not as simple as this person is good, this person is bad. This person falls negatively on the moral spectrum, therefore I hate him. This person falls positively on the ethical moral spectrum, so they are a great person. The taste buds or morality, like Jonathan Haidt talks about, is basically saying that on a spectrum of morality in general, it's not just one taste bud. There's at least five. And I'm gonna read some of these to you. I'm just gonna list them off. One of them is care and harm. In other words, when you see an elderly, disheveled, homeless person in the street, how much does it affect you? Right? Do you feel like you want to help them, or can you just walk on by not really being emotionally affected by it? Another one, fairness and cheating. Here's an example. A coworker takes on your workload for 5 days so you can extend your vacation for 5 more days. How do you feel? Is that fair? Are you feeling good about yourself because you got this great benefit by somebody else sacrificing for you? Or do you have this weird sense of, hey man, this is not really fair. I don't feel right about this. A third one is the loyalty and betrayal spectrum, or taste bud rather. A team member acts in personal interest over that of the interest of the team. How much does that bother you? If you followed the NFL at all in the past couple of years, we've seen this happen a lot. Sometimes in the NBA as well. A lot of times one team member will stand out. I'm not saying this is bad or good, right or wrong for any reason, but usually it's a business decision, right? They're looking out for their own business, their own income. Again, not necessarily right or wrong, but how do you feel about that? Do you feel for the individual or do you feel for the team? The next taste bud is called the authority subversion taste bud. Here's an example. Someone you know speaks negatively about your boss. True or not, how much does that bother you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Last one, sanctity and degradation. A man drops a slice of pizza on his kitchen floor, cheese side down, right? Imagine all that grease and cheese picking up the junk on your floor, depending how nasty your floor is. He proceeds to pick it up and then take a bite of it. Does that bother you? Is it okay? How much does that bother you? How disgusting is it? Did he break any rules? Or is that all okay? All right, you see how there's five different ones: care, harm, fairness, cheating, loyalty, betrayal, authority, subversion, and sanctity, degradation. Everyone feels and responds to each one differently. I could care a lot about elderly people and little children in the care, harm spectrum, but not care at all about that guy who drops a slice of pizza and eats it. Does that make me right or wrong? One way or the other? Not necessarily. It just means I care more about one taste bud than the other one. So why is this so important to understand? When we look at people who are very opinionated, which is again why they don't want to listen to you sometimes, if you don't understand what they find to be so important in terms of their morality spectrum and the taste buds, how are you going to communicate with them in the language that they understand? If we don't know what taste buds are at play in forming the opinions that they have, how are we going to communicate with them? How are we going to understand what they have to say, much less help them to understand what we have to say? Again, we can go into this more detail at some other point in the video or some other video series down the road. But at the end of the day, what you have to understand is people's motives and values are complicated. Just because you think they are one way does not necessarily mean that they are that way at all. They might be driven by completely different factors that you have no idea about. And until we recognize that, it's going to be very hard to communicate with them, and there's no way that they're going to listen to you. So understand that. Based on your understanding of this person and why they're so opinionated and why they have these opinions to begin with, build that connection, get them to like you. Obviously, not just for the sake of getting them to like you and to listen to you, right? But actually get them to like you because you want to build a connection and be friends with that person. And then once that connection is made, it's going to be much easier for them to listen to you, and you're going to have a much stronger voice in their head when it comes to sharing your opinion that's going to be different than theirs. Here's a couple of examples. Let's say that I am personally super conservative when it comes to politics. If my super irresponsible, annoying, liberal neighbor Charlie engages in a debate with me and he's trying to convince me and convert me to his liberal views, I'm more than likely just going to talk to him and argue with him about whatever his views are and why my views are better and why he's stupid, or I'll just get annoyed by it and forget about it altogether. Scenario two, if my friend Bob, who I play basketball with, I'll grab a drink with from time to time and just hang out. If he is also super, super liberal, but yet he wants to share his liberal views with me, then all of a sudden it's not just about my conservative views versus his liberal views. It's not just my far right opinion versus his far left opinion. All of a sudden, now it's my friend Bob, who I like, who I get along with, who I have very positive feelings for. He has an opinion that's different from mine. I've given him credit in my mind. I know who he is as a person. I value him. I understand him and his character. Even if his views are completely different from mine, and I've seen how crazy things can play out sometimes, hey, maybe what he has to say has some value and some merit. I'm going to listen to him because I like him. And he's my friend Bob. See that? Building rapport is key. If you're not able to build rapport with somebody that's different from you, it's going to be very hard to converse with them just on the issue itself. Build the relationship first, build the friendship, get to like each other. They're more likely to hear you out regardless of what your opinion is and how different it might be from theirs. So to recap, four critical things. Number one, listen. Listen to the other perspective first. When you listen first, they're more likely to listen to you. Number two, understand the elephant and the rider concept. Everyone is driven by emotion as well as reason. But when these two conflict, generally speaking, the emotion is going to win out and the reason is going to follow and justify the way that you feel. So what do? Make them feel happy about you. Be a good person. Have good character. Be a good friend. Their emotion will be there. They'll justify why they should listen to you, if they should listen to you in the first place. Number three, remember that there are at least five different taste buds of morality, meaning people are way more complicated than we make them out to be. It's not just as simple as good versus wrong, right versus wrong, good and bad. It's about this whole spectrum of things that sometimes we value differently compared to other people. If you don't understand how complicated people are, you can't communicate with them clearly, they will never listen to you. And last but not least, number four, Make sure you put the effort and time into building rapport with somebody else before you have a conversation. If you want to have a good conversation, and if you want to have a conversation in which your opposing worldviews and perspectives might actually be heard. If they like you, again, going back to number two with the elephant and the rider, they're going to be more likely to hear you out, even if they think your perspective is stupid. And that's it, everyone. Four simple things. If you're able to do this, people are going to listen to you better, and you are more likely to have an impact on your communities wherever you are, and hopefully that impact is going to be positive. If you found what we shared today to be helpful and valuable, please connect with us at Operation Dichotomy on Instagram and on Facebook, or you can check us out at operationdichotomy.com. Thank you.